Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Yes, we are back after a week off, and it is time for episode 122 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton. And I gotta say, I don't know if this is just me, I'm like really excited to actually get into this. I think, you know, we get very much used to it as part of routine, so taking a week out is like, oh, there's a lot going on. Let's chat.
And it was a weird kind of time because we all had, well, both of you were away for a week, and then it just so happened that there were various things happening for me at the same time that made it very difficult to do any sort of extra podcasts and do the main podcast. And we made the decision actually after we aired the last one, because we would normally say in advance. But here we are back, and it is lovely to be back. Hope you're both well. Alistair, I'm going to come to you first, because it feels like ages since we spoke, because I think the last one was Anton and I. But what have you had any time to play anything, and what have you been playing?
Yeah, I've been missing for 2 whole weeks. It's the longest I think I've ever not been on the show for. I'm pretty sure even at Christmas time we sort of go for a week without doing a show. Maybe we do 2 weeks. Either way, I've missed you guys. It's nice to be back. It's very nice to be back. Have I played anything? No, I literally haven't. I've been on holiday, which is nice, but it was a full-on holiday, so I didn't have any time. Didn't even take the Switch with me, actually, which is bizarre, but I knew I wouldn't have the time to do it. And the week before that, I was just up to my eyeballs rebuilding my university program sort of from scratch. So yeah, I've got a Switch downstairs collecting dust, and it's making me very sad. I actually just said to my partner at dinner time, I can't wait till this project's done and I can pick up my Switch again.
What's going to be the first thing back on rotation? You have like a week off.
Oh, that's a good question.
All the chores have been taken care of.
Yeah, I'm tempted actually to make a start on Mario Galaxy, because it's sitting downstairs since I bought Mario 3D All-Stars, and I've never turned that particular game on yet. So that might be my startup.
It's the one. It is the one. I loved it so much. It was so, so good. Good choice. Anton, what about you?
Yeah, I have been foolish and horrible and playing almost exclusively Tetris on everything. I've been playing it on Xbox. I've bought the DLC for Tetris 99.
Is this like a new discovery, or did you always know about Tetris?
I've always known about Tetris, but I've just particularly got hooked. I found they've got a version for Apple Watch called Falling Block Game. It's awful, and I keep on playing it at every moment. It's starting to ruin my life. I close my eyes, I see blocks falling down. I don't know why. Tetris 99 DLC is probably the main highlight in there.
Yeah, you joke about seeing Tetris, but if you play Tetris, and I went through a phase of playing a lot of Tetris when I was playing Tetris versus Puyo Puyo for ages, and you do see Tetris blocks in your sleep and when you close your eyes. That is not like a throwaway line. It's actually a problem.
Out of curiosity, do you guys have a definitive version of Tetris, like your favorite version of Tetris?
Definitely. It's Tetris Effect Connected. To be honest, the original Tetris Effect. It was made like 2018, 2019, because there was a study on what they call the Tetris Effect, where you close your eyes and you see Tetris blocks. And it is just a trance-like experience. Every single block, you know, you're moving it over one or slam it down, it's all kind of integral to the music, and it's just like, just lose yourself in that game. I love it.
That's quite cool. I'll have to try that. What's that, a PC or something?
That's on PS4, PSVR, and Xbox. So right. I don't know why it's not on the Switch. It's Tetris for...
basically all the consoles that you don't have, Mike.
One day.
So what's your one? What's your definitive Tetris?
I don't know, actually, because I've not played as many as Anton has. I mean, I love the original. I think the Game Boy version still stands up today. I think it still plays really well, and it's so simple. And the fact that you can still play it now is a testament to it. I really like Tetris versus Puyo Puyo. I think that's a really clever game, and actually it's well done on both sides. And I'm not a huge Puyo Puyo fan in comparison, but it's done really well. And then Tetris 99, I think, is very clever, and I still enjoy that. I don't know. I need to play more, because there are so many offshoots of Tetris. I'm not an expert. Like, Anton spent the last 6 weeks like studying a Tetris PhD, so I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, because I've not played many, but I played a few. But for me, by far the best one is, as you said, Mike, the original Game Boy version. There's something about its pure simplicity, and weirdly, the motion blur on the screen when things fell down, just because the screen was LCD, I suppose, at that point, and it just couldn't quite keep up, so you got that weird blurring effect. There's something incredibly satisfying about that, and it just makes for the perfect gaming experience.
Well, it was one of the sort of transcends the generations games, wasn't it? Originally, when it came out in the Game Boy, it's probably the very first time that you would see grandparents playing a video game console regularly, because Tetris was that kind of game that everyone could play. So I do think just that in itself probably puts that up there. But there are so many. It's Tetris. I don't think you can go that far wrong. I'm sure Anton's discovered instances where it has gone wrong, but...
You know, you've got to play Tetris Party using the Wii balance board on Nintendo Wii.
Nope.
It's a definitive way. You have to jump to, like, slam it down into place. Peak Tetris,
man.
Right there.
That just sounds hard work. I've actually had a very, very quiet... This is probably the quietest I've been on Switch in a long time, because I was playing last time. You wouldn't have heard this, Alistair, but last podcast I'd been playing Doki Doki Literature Club, and I know you'd wanted to know what I thought about the ending, so I can kind of repeat this slightly. So I'm on my second playthrough. I haven't gone back to it yet, but I'm almost finished my second playthrough, because that's how much I enjoyed it. And it's really funny, because I've seen 4 reviews now on various Nintendo websites saying, this is rubbish. I've played an hour of this and it's just so boring. There's nothing happening. I'm just speaking to loads of people and it's a visual novel and that's not what I signed up for. And I'm like, and they're like, I give this 4 out of 10. And I'm like, don't stop playing, whatever you do. It is wild. I mean, I can't go into details because I don't want to spoil it, but it is one of the most original ideas I've seen in a video game ever. It's really, really clever, and it's really well done, and it made me want to play again. And I never repeat games, but luckily the second playthrough, anything you've done, you can put on fast forward so that it just kind of speeds past anything that you've already previously played, which helps. But it's just really clever, and I want to finish my second playthrough to see if I get different, because there is loads of different ways you can end it. So, but yeah, I thought it was really, really clever.
Awesome. Yeah, as I said before, I did my research. I was just so intrigued by this game. It just sounded so nuts and so bizarre. And I know the story because I went to find out what it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm so pleased you liked it. And actually, I listened to the episode I wasn't on. I don't normally listen to most of our episodes, but I did listen to that one and got thoroughly confused by your quiz at the end. But we'll come to that later on.
Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about that later. The only other thing I've been playing this week, the one thing I have played a lot of, so when I say I haven't played much Switch, that's slightly lying. I have. But I've only played Rocket League. And partly it's because a lot of the time I've been pick up and play in between doing other things. And I've been like, I just want one game or something. And it's been the closest game. But you know, the other thing I have played with 3 different people in co-op mode. So actually, I'm lying. I have played a bit of Switch. FIFA 18.
So, you know, you're sure? Getting a full FIFA experience.
It's pretty much the same.
We got intended.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm sure we'll probably come to that later in the episode too.
Yes, but FIFA 18 is what I've been playing. Just on it. I played it with my brother. I played it with a friend of mine, and then another friend of mine who came up to visit. So yeah, so 3 different people have had the FIFA 18 experience, because it's the most up to date FIFA I've got, and FIFA's always that kind of co-op go to game that I play with friends that like soccer ball. So. I should probably update it at some point, but well, will it be this year? We'll find out very soon. We're going to move on to this week's news.
Tell us that people want to know.
VWO Interactive Inc. have announced Nexomon for the Nintendo Switch. It's a Pokemon style RPG. It's coming out on the 28th of August, and Nexomon, it's definitely got that kind of RPG Pokemon kind of vibe about it. It even sounds a bit like a Digimon kind of clone, doesn't it, Anton?
Yeah, you know, I was fairly impressed by the look and standard of this title. It kind of, you know, gives me a glimpse into a world in which, rather than getting Pokemon X and Y, we got like Pokemon Black 3, and it kind of continued onto that lineage, and this is a Switch entry where it never did the kind of 3D transformation. You know, the top-down gameplay has still got that pixel-based elements to it, where the combat is still very anime-ish, and it just looks very flowy and, you know, very polished, tidy, and compared to a lot of the Pokemon clones I have seen, this one looks fairly refined, although it's going to be tough to, you know, convince people who like Pokemon games to not buy another Pokemon game and to give this a wee go.
Yeah, because this is a weird one. We've already had its sequel.
Yeah, that's what
sequel
was
released last
me.
Year. It was what's called Extinction. Yeah, yes. So this is us getting sort of the original game now released after we've already had the sequel, which is fine. I can wrap my brain around that. That's okay. But I have to say, it does just look like a cheap Pokemon clone, and it's cute. I like most of the art style, but the actual battles, there's something just they look. Crap. They did just look crap. Most of the animation is really, really cool, but they've just... Whatever they've done with the battle system... In Pokemon, even on the Game Boy, back in, like, the Game Boy Color era, it felt more solid. This just feels like, I don't know, bits of paper attacking each other. I can't quite figure out what is wrong with this. There's just something very wrong with the battle system. It looks like the characters aren't interacting in any way. It's just uncomfortable, and I don't like it, and therefore I'm just going to very much pass and like zip past this and go buy a Pokemon game instead.
Yeah, I mean, it has got a bit of a mobile aesthetic to it, I think. You know, I think it might have even been its origins. I don't 100% know the series that well, but it depends on price point for me. I think that for some people that don't want to get into the Pokemon world but maybe want to try something similar and it's, you know, it's maybe not... Pokemon seems like a lot because there's so much to it, and I think if you're coming new into Pokemon, it might be quite a scary thought. Whereas this one, it's like, okay, well, it's the original, let's try it. So I think it will find some people that might want to try this. It just depends on price. If it's a tenner, I think people are going to go for it. I think if it's full price, you're going to struggle.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very much like this is a very solid Pokemon clone, but it doesn't really have an edge or a gimmick or something where it's like, it's Pokemon, but it doesn't have that but, which is a bit of a shame in this case.
Yeah.
It does
yeah.
have, like, Power Rangers in it. At one point in the trailer, there's five characters all in different coloured suits. I'm going to call them Power Rangers. It's got that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's coming out on the 28th of August, so you don't have long to wait. Next up, EA have announced EA Sports. It's in the game. FIFA 22 Legacy Edition for the Nintendo Switch. Apparently, the new game in the accomplished EA franchise will feature a vial of Mike's tears in the box. It's coming out on the 1st of October this year. And I have to say, as much as I love FIFA, like everyone that plays FIFA over the years, you know, I love a game of FIFA. Why are we still getting the Legacy Edition? Come on, EA, just even pretend to make a bit of an effort with this. And the thing is, the game itself, like if you break it all down, it's probably the best football game, as in playing football game, on the Switch. And the updated version will be the best one because it's got the newest kits, but they've not added anything new. They've not changed the actual engine they've been using, considering the other ones upgraded 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. And this is the fifth one in the entry on the Switch. And I'm like, come on, guys. Just put a bit of effort in, for goodness sake, Anton. Not you, but EA.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a particularly bad this year. You know, I know it's kind of been a meme to clown on this every year, but, you know, the previous years, they had the excuse of the Frostbite engine just doesn't run on Switch. That's not the case now. And as well as that,
that was my
you know, they're no longer doing the 360 versions. They're no longer doing the PS3 versions. So they're seeing it as an easier investment to develop an entirely new version of it, an version that only goes on the Switch, isn't on a previous gen or anything like that, than to just do the legwork to, you know, make the Frostbite port that is on an engine that works on the Switch, run on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's particularly bad.
I mean, presumably they're literally taking last year's game and just swapping out some of the textures and making a couple of new menus. That's, I'm assuming, all they do? Tweak some of the metrics? Because some teams, I guess, got better, some got worse. I mean, this, it really is a half-hearted approach to game making. And yeah, it is sheer laziness. But at the same time, if you're a business and you know that people are going to buy this game and it's going to cost you nothing to make, why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah.
If people stop buying them, then they wouldn't do them. They might actually give you a proper one.
But it's so difficult because I totally agree. And in theory, we should all stop buying them and that would be it. But I mean, I know of some people, I know some of our Patreon supporters, for example, have bought it. And it's because if you've only got a Switch and you want to play the latest FIFA, which a lot of people do, a lot of people, I mean, I played, when I had played FIFA 18 the other night, I remembered about one of the modes that I'd forgotten all about. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I quite like this. And it made me want to go and play it. But I wanted an updated version. But the problem is the updated version, it's just the effort that EA are, or the lack of effort EA are putting in. So I can understand why people are buying it. But yes, we should protest it. But I just don't even know. I think all they do is just say, oh, we're not releasing a Switch version. So I don't even know if that would work. So if you've got another console, buy on that. That's all I will say to that. And if you don't, you've no other choice, pick up FIFA 21 when it goes down to about a pound and then so on, all the way back to FIFA 18. Next up, Mojang. We're not going to talk about it again. Mojang have announced Minecraft Dungeons Ultimate Edition for the Nintendo Switch. It's the base game plus six expansions and the newly announced Echoing Void expansion. It comes out the 28th of July. So we're going to come to you, Anton, because obviously you've played Minecraft Dungeons. It seems like a really big pack. It seems like it's got everything you need.
Yeah, you know, they've been going really quite ham on the DLCs and they've been able to explore many, many different parts of the Minecraft world. This Ultimate Edition will be coming out for around the kind of £40 mark, which, to be honest, I think this might be the kind of premier way to do it. One of the major criticisms of this title when it came out is it's a bit short. It is about a 4 to 6 hour game, depending on how serious or how hard you want to go on yourself. So I think having this kind of full package with all the expansions is a great way to do it. And especially it being a multiplayer game, I feel like if you could divide this with some friends, you could really get some good value for money here.
That sounds like a reasonable position to take. I probably don't have much more to add to it. Because, I mean, when it comes to Minecraft or Minecraft Dungeons, I mean, I've never really played either one. I don't really have much of an opinion on either one. So I'm just going to bow to Anton's wisdom and just go, yes, master, whatever you say.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of where I'm at with it as well. But I do think that it sounds like a pretty good pack with the expansions, albeit it's a short playthrough. But you know, it seems like a pretty good way of getting involved. Next up, Game Mill Entertainment have announced Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl for the Nintendo Switch. It's a bit like Super Smash Bros. And it's coming out this year. And I kind of like it. I just like the fact it's got the Turtles, it's got Ren and Stimpy, the Wild Thornberry, SpongeBob, the Loud House. I just did a flipping song pitch to the Loud House and had to do it, you know, with somebody singing in the style of the main character from the Loud House. And Rugrats, which I love, and Hey Arnold. This is cool.
I completely agree. Sorry, Anton, on you go.
Oh, no. This is really exciting because, you know, I think with fighting games, a lot of people maybe aren't going to put in 150 hours into it and get their money's worth out of it. You know, somebody just picks up a fighting game, they maybe play it once or twice at a party. I feel having like a cheaper alternative to Smash Bros, you know, let's say this is like a £20 title, £25 on sale, this could be quite a nice option, Al.
Yeah, I'm so much more interested in this than I ever was in Smash Brothers. I mean, Smash Bros. Is fine. It was a good game. This looks like it literally is just a clone. I mean, every scene in that game looks like it could be Smash Brothers. But with, as you said, the Turtles. And the fact I can beat up SpongeBob SquarePants' face makes me very, very happy. I would love to attack him with like Leonardo's ninja sword, and it would make me a very happy man. So there's a lot to like about this game. I mean, most Nickelodeon games, they're a bit meh. Because, you know, they're designed for littler kids who don't know any better, frankly, and they're designed to be bought by parents for littler kids who don't know any better. But this one actually is the first game I've seen from Nickelodeon that looks like it has potential.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think I can imagine a lot of fun multiplayer, playing this with friends, you know, all on one console. And Smash Bros. Has got that as well. And I actually really, I played the old Smash Bros. Way back on N64
N64. That's where I played it.
And then GameCube. And I really enjoyed it. But this is, like Al says, I think it's maybe partly to do with the ridiculousness of the characters. It's the fact that it's, you know, it's a quite a fun roster. It feels like Smash Bros, and not that Smash Bros takes itself seriously, but really not taking itself seriously, which is great. So, yeah, bring it on. I hope the price point is good. I hope it's like 29 or 25 rather than like a full price. But we'll see, and I'm think this would be a lot of fun. Okay, let's get to the main announcement then this week. Or, well, this was actually, it feels like ages ago now, but since we last recorded a podcast, there was one massive announcement that was kind of not as massive as maybe some of us hoped, but I still think there's more to come. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about this all in one, and then we'll talk about it. So Nintendo announced the Nintendo Switch OLED model. It's the new model featuring 7-inch 1280 by 720 OLED screen, Tegra X1, 4GB of LPDDR4 RAM, 64GB of storage, and larger adjustable kickstand, and a new Ethernet dock. It's coming out on the 8th of October. It's going to be £309.99. It's the same day as Metroid Dread. It's going to be available in white and neon red, neon blue. Just a few of the kind of notes on this. The internet is disappointed, of course, by the lack of a Switch Pro, which I could have predicted as soon as this was announced. I'm sure everyone else did. The Switch OLED model will use the same Joy-Cons as previous models. It won't confirm, Nintendo won't confirm whether the OLED Joy-Cons experience drift. It's probably because they don't know yet. The Switch OLED dock can be purchased separately, but the Switch OLED model only costs $10 more per unit to make. Industry insiders have shared that the more expensive Switch OLED could set a precedent for charging more across the industry, and Sony is closely monitoring the situation. It will have an official carrying case. Certain Labo will have varying degrees of compatibility with the OLED model, and scalpers are already selling OLED models for £800. A lot to dissect there. Alistair, you're the skeptic in the house, so we'll start with you.
You're right. There is an awful lot to digest there. I'm not surprised that the internet is somewhat miffed at this, but I suspect that there's more to come. I mean, we have had so much rumour that has been pretty much well substantiated from very reputable places about a Switch Pro. So I'm pretty convinced a Switch Pro is still coming. I think this is just a little halfway house type idea. And I am very tempted to see how much I can get from a current Switch. And if I can get a decent amount for the current Switch and get the OLED version for not much more, for like £50, I would be tempted to buy the OLED as a stopgap, because my single biggest bugbear with the Switch has always been its brightness and the fact you can't see it outside. OLED screen fixes that. So if I could pay £50 to play my Switch outside, I would be very tempted to. I would kick myself if, like, 3 months later the Switch Pro then came out and I would feel like a very silly boy indeed. But either way, it's not an exciting release. I admit it's not the most exciting, but at the same time, I think it's a useful and a good one. And if you're going to buy a Switch, you've not bought one yet, this is a great offering. It's a really, really good offering. It basically kills off the original Switch. Why would anybody bother buying the original Switch when this one is now available? So, yeah, all power to them. It will be interesting, however, to see what the industry does do pricing-wise. I mean, that whole comment about it costs £10 more to make it, or $10 more to make it, but they're selling it for, an extra £50 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair hike. So, well, hopefully it doesn't lead to hardware prices going up more, but I doubt it will, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Al. You've kind of hit everything on the head there, where I similarly think this might be a bit of a stopgap, and we've got some rumours later on the show that will kind of explore that idea a little bit further. But overall, I'm very impressed by this, because it fixes a lot of issues I had with the Switch. It's definitely not an upgrade. Like, you know, I could live with my Switch. I don't need it to play the new Minecraft Super version. But, the simple stuff like the new kickstand, which is almost like a Microsoft Surface, or the thinner bezels, just makes the Switch OLED model feel like a far more contemporary device. And where it is priced, I'm going to be curious to see how normal Switch sales fare, because I think a lot of the people I know that are going for the Switch normal model over the Switch Lite. They're wanting the full fat Switch experience. And considering the how far the gap is between, you know, the Switch Lite to Switch to Switch OLED, I could see a lot more people jumping up for that full model. But yeah, I'm tempted to grab one of these myself. I was going to put in a pre-order right away, and then stuff sort of swayed my mind, which again we'll get to later in the show. But I think I will go for it nonetheless. It looks really cool, Mike. How are you feeling about it?
Kind of similar, because I have, as you know, a Switch. My partner has a Switch. I have a Switch Lite. And I think the one thing, as much I really love the Lite, I think as a form factor, it's great. So that's maybe a little bit getting used to. But there are ways around playing, you know, there's certain control kind of things you can use to make it more comfortable in your hand and all the rest of it. But I have to say, I am hugely considering selling the Switch and the Switch Lite and replacing it with the OLED, simply because, as you said, well, the OLED model, it's the OLEDs on the Vitas were fantastic. I mean, I remember, you know, still my favorite, one of my favorite sort of consoles ever was having the OLED on the Vita. And you think that, as you say, contemporary, but here we are talking about something that has been around for quite a while, but Nintendo tend to kind of do their own thing. So it does feel very contemporary nonetheless. I love the fact it's got an Ethernet dock. That's actually quite a big thing, because I find sometimes, depending on where it's positioned in the house, the Wi-Fi can be really kind of up and down. And that's, you know, it just dependent on what you're playing online. Remember, I play a lot more online games than maybe you guys do, with Rocket League particularly. But Ethernet would be good. I think that's a really cool little thing. I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm like, it seems kind of cool. I wish there was more, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, I think I'm probably going to sell some stuff and buy one, basically.
Yeah. I think the little thing, it's just a lot of little things. Like, the industrial design's a lot nicer. It seems like it's made out of less pieces than the normal model, so hopefully it'll be more durable. The new kickstand actually looks usable. I found with the one that we had, you either had to be like at eye level with it, which you rarely are going to be at eye level with it.
Yeah.
When it's on a table, whereas this one's adjustable, a lot bigger, it won't snap off, and you know they've hid a lot of the ugly text in the back of the console underneath it. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of Switch owners that, you know, they pop into Game or Smith's or something like that, and they see a Switch OLED with the new game that they're playing, like Metroid Dread, for like 120, and they're like, sure. And then that's how they're going to move units.
But the thing is, I think a lot of people will see it and will see the difference. If they play handheld, there is going to be a difference. Like, you're definitely, it's going to be noticeable. But the thing about it as well for me is, like, the Lite, I have the Lite because it was an easier form factor to play than the main Switch. But now I'm like, well, this with an OLED, I'm like, I would much rather have an OLED and a decent screen over both, really, because, you know, I don't mind the screens, but as Sal said, you can play outside, you can play it when you're traveling more easily. So, yeah, oh, it's such a difficult one, but we're going to be talking more about it anyway, because there's a bit more to come in the rumors section. But yeah, we shall see. Next up, Dark Samus is getting a reprint this October. Anton, tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the Amiibo. It's, I believe, part of the Super Smash Bros. Series. Again, a reprint in time for the new Metroid Dread. It's not confirmed whether or not Dark Samus will play a part in that title, but definitely the hype is building up for that upcoming title, Al.
It really is. There's a lot of effort been going into marketing this, so hopefully it pays off. Metroid is a great franchise, and, well, the more of it we get, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next up, this is exciting for me. Danganronpa Decadence has a release date. It's going to be December 3rd, which is going to sort my December out when it comes to, because I've already pre-ordered it. It's going to be my December all sorted. That's going to it's going to be Danganronpa December Decadence for me, because yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'll have a new baby around about a month before that, so I suspect the only gaming I'll be doing is whilst I'm holding a baby that's sleeping, probably in between whilst having it in my hands. So maybe with my new Switch OLED and this could be the perfect combo. Well,
it could well be, although trying to play that one-handed might be difficult. Might
not one-handed
you instead
you
you know, trying to hold a baby, sure, go for
it. All right.
I was going to say, if you are one-handed, might recommend Mario Kart Tour.
Oh, don't you start. Anton, yeah, everyone's very excited. I know a lot of people are very excited about this one. It is it's a very good collection, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very keen to get this. And I think this is one of the two definitely buying titles of the year. I think just with the four games, it is such a good value. I'd always meant to play them when they were on the PlayStation Vita, but paying the £40 for, you know, just one of them, I was a little on the fence. But this as a complete package, especially now that the first two titles have been cleaned up a little, kind of partially remastered in many ways, I'm very keen to get my hands on this and might go physical with this.
Yeah.
Get the full experience.
Speaking of physical, Among Us is getting a physical release, an Imposters edition and an Ejected edition. This is a cool announcement, Al, but it feels like a year too late.
That's exactly what I thought when I was reading these articles, that I thought, yeah, okay, that's great, but why did you not do this last year when everyone was playing Among Us?
And it's still a great game. You know, I love the game.
They're still great games, but the hype has kind of fallen by the wayside. And then I started looking at what you get with the packs. And okay, I'm tight and I don't really see the benefit in all the extra stuff because I'm a grumpy old man and that's fine. But I mean, the base game, which is what, $30, comes with some stickers and a map and a swipe card, well, a pretend swipe card. Okay, sure. Then if you pay $50, you get a lanyard and a plush. And actually, that one seems a bit better value with a special box and some sort of spinning enamel pin thing. Okay, that's $50. But then if you spend $90, you get a fleecy blanket and a beanie. I mean, this feels like people are being fleeced. But I mean, if you're going to pay the money, then more for you, frankly.
Yeah, I'm careful with you there, Al. I think for a kind of collector's edition or even just a physical edition of a lot of these smaller titles, let's even take a free-to-play example, you know, there ideally should be some form of, you know, you're getting the DLC, you're getting, you know, some coins along with it, you know, you're getting something for the price of admission. But especially for a $3.99 title or a free-to-play on mobile, you really are just buying a box for that base edition. If there's maybe, you know, an exclusive costume pack or exclusive something, it would maybe have pushed me over the edge. But I think this will be a Christmas gift for parents who have heard of the Among Us.
Yeah, you might be right. Witcher 3 is getting some free DLC inspired by the show, which is amazing because Witcher 3 has been out for ages. I still haven't played it. I have it on the Switch ready to go. I bought it off a mutual friend of Alistair and I's for a very, very good price. And
did you buy it off Ian, by any chance?
Yes, I did, yes. And I have it ready to go. Obviously, it's a bit of a job to play it because it's a big game, but looking forward to that. But it's cool that we're still getting some more free DLC, Anton.
Yeah, and you know, especially with how busy CD Projekt Red must have their hands at the moment with tidying up the cyberpunk situation, it's nice that they're showing love for the game that really put them on the map, and you know, not completely moving on and just doing the next big thing, because it is quite an old title by this point, over almost 5 years old by now.
Yeah,
it is. I love the fact that this is actually tied to the show. I mean, I can't actually think of a single game that's been turned into a show that then the game has taken aspects of the show and incorporated them back in.
No.
I'm struggling to think of a single one. This is very, very cool, and I just love that. What I am thinking, though, Mike, is if you're basically spending all of Christmas playing Danganronpa, which is probably what's going to happen, I'm going to borrow The Witcher 3 from you, because I've been wanting to play that for ages, and if I knew Ian was selling it, I'd have bought it.
So I pay the money, you play it. Well, I think
that seems to be the way this relationship works. I like it.
I don't know if I like it. Now, Among Us, and I might just change the setting of this on Al's version just to annoy him, but it can now be played in Irish. So does that mean it's like, you know, like in an Irish accent, or I'm assuming it's in the language Irish Gaelic? Because it's Gaelic in Ireland, Scotland is Gaelic.
You are correct. It is in Irish Gaelic, which I feel like having both options would have been great. But, you know, I'm just holding tight for the Scottish language translation.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
I'll help.
Yeah.
I'll personally do it.
Can you say
anything? Are you going to kick out?
Can you speak any Gaelic, Alistair?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is something. I used to watch a show called Daughter Man, mm-hmm. which was on TV when we were very small kids. And it was in Gaelic. And I just remember whenever he walked in, he said something like, Mahorst, Mahorst.
Mahorst,
Mahorst. What it meant.
He also said, hello. If you ever watch the news in Gaelic, they always start with Fiscab Ma. And also there was Padraic Post, which was Postman Pat.
Yes, Padraic Post. Yes, Padraic Post. I did know about that.
Anyway.
Microwave.
Universal Pictures partners with streaming platform Peacock, which I didn't even know. I've never even heard of them.
Only in the States.
Oh, I see. Meaning Illumination's Super Mario movie will be exclusive to the platform for a period of time. Is this the new one that's coming, Anton?
Indeed. So what it looks like is after a maximum of 4 months cinema window, the Super Mario movie will be exclusive to the service for up to 18 months, at least within of the US. I presume Peacock, being owned by NBC and the big conglomerate they are, they'll be wanting to expand possibly out of the States, but we'll wait and see. But maybe put your hopes down for seeing this on Netflix a year or so after launch.
I think we're more likely to get it on somewhere like Sky Cinema, I suspect, because Sky carries a lot of NBC stuff that's exclusive, so that my money for getting it in the UK will probably be, it'll be on Sky Cinema.
Yeah, probably like $7.99 or something for a one-off watch or whatever it is they charge now. It's probably more than that. Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown is getting a new trailer and setting. Welcome to Hong Kong. It's coming out the 22nd of September 2021. Oh, I think you were quite interested in this one, weren't you?
I was, and I'm even more interested in it now. I mean, watching the trailer just makes it look amazing. Before, we'd just had, I think, a Range Rover and an Aston Martin in a garage, sort of revving it, doing what you'd do in a car. But now they're bursting out of the garage and they're racing across deserts and, more importantly, through Hong Kong. And it just looks epic. If the gameplay is anything like that, it'll be amazing. This game is basically like a Forza Horizons kind of a clone, potentially. Mm. And so long as it stays more on that kind of side of things, this could be a brilliant game. If it goes down the arcadey route, which I don't think it will do, because the Test Drive games aren't massively arcadey, are they? I'm looking at Anton here.
Yeah, they're kind of they're higher than Need for Speed, but not as high as Forza Horizon.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
That middle ground.
Yeah, so this could be a beautiful game. I am very excited about this.
I am completely with you. I think there's been maybe 10 entries in the Test Drive franchise overall. And in my eyes, maybe like 3 of them have gotten the premise of it and the tone of it correctly. And this one looks like it's caught it. You know, it knows what the franchise is about, where I think on the surface, it is, of course, about driving, racing and all that. But underneath that, and I think the glue that holds the franchise together is the elements that is fundamentally, and this is where the first game began, and then Test Drive Unlimited innovated upon, was that it's a luxury simulator. You know, in the first Unlimited, you're a millionaire that just moves to an island, buys a house, and you go to dealerships. And it's about that kind of luxury living. And this feels kind of in vain of that. It has as luxurious, you know, you're high roller, you're going gambling, and you're just living your best life or worst life. I don't know how serious they're going to take it, but I like that they've embraced the luxury elements and it isn't just a racing game in the city. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Well, it is coming out on the 22nd of September. Now, we're going to fly through a few of these next announcements because we've still got quite a few to get through. No More Heroes 3 is going to get a collector's edition and a deluxe edition. Not a huge surprise, Al, is it?
Not really. I mean, I'd almost be surprised if we didn't get a collector's edition or a deluxe edition.
Yeah.
I mean, it's No More Heroes 3. We've been talking about it, I think, since our first episode just about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's got a nice fancy limited, I believe it's a deluxe edition.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be 500 copies, all signed by Suda51, so something special.
That is quite cool, actually. Forever Entertainment have announced Panzer Dragoon Remake and the House of the Dead Remake, which we obviously have on the Switch, but physicals, which is good. So if you're a physical collector, you might want to add those to the collection, to classic titles. I'll just keep moving on unless there's anything you guys want to add on that one, because it's physicals, which is good, apart from Al, who doesn't like physicals. But
no,
still,
Al always buys physical. Al doesn't like just digital.
Yeah,
physical you can buy and resell.
Aye, good point. Hasbro have announced Monopoly Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is, I mean, there's every other Monopoly, so why not? We'll just move on from that. And there's also a new world record for the highest, we'll talk about this, priced video game A sealed copy of The Legend of Zelda sold for $870,000. But then, just a few days later, so you might be confused if you saw this story twice, because it was then usurped by Super Mario 64 sealed copy, sold for $1.56 million. Anton, I want to talk about this just briefly here, because was this just the main copy that everyone had sealed, or was this a limited edition version?
This is a bog standard one, which, to be honest, I think The Legend of Zelda should be the one that's fetching the much higher price with
a lot older
car before the franchise was established. Like, everybody knew about Mario by the time Super Mario 64. You know, maybe getting a copy of Legend of Zelda when the franchise hasn't proven itself, you know, that feels like it should be a lot rarer. And I feel like there, you know, there might be a couple more sealed copies of Super Mario 64 out there that haven't been found yet. Whereas Zelda, I think this is about it. So, but anyway, nevertheless, madness. I think this has been spurred on by the inflation of Pokemon cards has pushed video game prices up as well, by association. But it is just, it's artwork now. It's paintings. You're putting them in freight ports and not paying taxes on it.
Just so it's weird that it's so much money. Like, I get it, because, you know, this is what happens. But I'm also like, I don't know. Like, Al, you're the kind of kid that probably would have had a sealed NES version of Zelda in my head. If anyone would have a sealed version as a kid, it'd be you.
I actually don't think I had any Zelda games on the NES. I played them at friends' houses. I don't think I ever owned it. Mm. I think the first one I had was in the SNES, but I can't wrap my head around the fact that Mario 64 has gone for 1.64 million. It's like, as you say, it's a game that everybody had. It's a game that there's probably quite a few sealed copies of kicking around in various collections. It seems bizarre. I mean, I'm looking at this going, is this like money laundering gone wrong? I just don't understand.
I know. It
doesn't
weird.
Make any sense.
Next up, though, another expensive item, not quite as expensive, but I actually really like this, but I don't have $2,150 to spend on it. It's Tag Heuer, the watch company, or however you pronounce their name, but you know the ones I'm talking about. They've announced a Super Mario limited edition smartwatch, limited to 2,000 pieces. It is really cool, I must admit. Like, I would love to have this, but I can't afford it. Sorry, Anton. No birthday present for me this year.
Yeah, this is a bit of a weird one. I think from a watch perspective, the Tag Heuer connected smartwatches are a bit naff. You know, they've got the same hardware and even like the jewelry aspects are the same as an Apple Watch, but they're charging normal watch money. Bit bizarre, and it's also combined by Wear OS. But as a Nintendo piece of memorabilia, it is incredible and awesome. It has a nice OLED screen and tons of cool animations, custom watch faces made by Nintendo. It has a little M on the crown. It looks cool as a Nintendo thing. It is sacrilege as a watch thing. I'm in so many confusing places about this, Al.
I just don't know who's going to buy it. I mean, if you're a watch collector, you're not going to touch this with a barge pole. And if you're a Nintendo fan, well, you probably can't afford it. So, I mean, who's going to buy it?
They'll sell. They'll be gone. They'll be gone in, like, day one.
Yeah, it's this is the watch for people that spend £1 million on Mario 64.
There you go. That's
we're just not on that level, Al.
Yeah. Sadly. Not yet. Keep doing the podcast, guys. Keep doing the podcast.
I really, really wish I had that kind of money. Tencent are planning to acquire Crytek, Anton.
Yeah, Tencent are going a little bit ham with acquisitions in the gaming world. Obviously, there is the patent of a new handheld from them recently. They've also bought Sumo Digital, creators of Sackboy's Adventure and Little Big Planet 3, among, I believe, the Sonic Racing karting games. But they're going wild, and they're scooping up a lot of industry talent. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in future as a larger entity.
Let me tell you, very interesting crossover is that currently one of the biggest clients that our music company work with is Tencent. And actually, Tencent and their video games world is now one of the most regularly lucrative music ventures in China above most of the pop artists, and the reason is simply because there's so much of it. There's so many games that they own, and they need music for DLC, and they need music for theme tunes, and they need it for end credits, and they're constantly looking for new music. They've actually become more of a kind of, you're more likely to see good returns working with them than you are with like Universal Records, and that is insane to think in this space of 2 years how much that's changed.
That is nuts. They have just... It does kind of feel like they've come out of nowhere, doesn't it? And they own... I mean, they probably own half the video games industry at this point. They are just insane. And it's no secret that Crytek have been trying to sell themselves. So, yeah, I can happily believe that they might well be bought up by Tencent. Sure, it's perfectly reasonable.
YouTuber VK has discovered a new permanent fix for Joy-Con drift. I did spot this and I never watched the video, Anton. So what do you do to fix your drift?
Yeah, so from what...
Chewing gum.
You spit all of your human juices inside the controller to lubricate.
Oh, that's the most disgusting thing we've ever said on this podcast.
Ooh. Anyway, so basically in the video, they walk through the kind of how it happens and walks through the process for it. Basically, it seems like there's like a bottom piece of the Joy-Con that is meant to be loose for, you know, allowing it to be lifted up and down. But basically, it means there's not enough pressure on the Joy-Con. So if you have a Joy-Con with Joy-Con drift, if you go in your settings, you can actually press around the hardware and that pressure will enable it to kind of stop the Joy-Con drift. And the final fix is opening up, putting 1 centimeter of cardboard behind the joystick.
1 millimeter.
Fixes all your problems.
And put 1 centimeter in there, you can have a very chunky Joy-Con. But 1 millimeter paper, yeah.
1 millimeter paper.
1 millimeter, yeah. And I've done it myself. It's done the job.
Really?
Highly recommend. Watch the video. It kind of walks through the process, and there's a little wee test that you can do without dismantling your Joy-Con to kind of prove the theory. And it was upon doing that test, I was like, okay, there's some logic here. Open it up, did the procedure, and all good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. He did this 2 months ago and said he's not suffered from Joy-Con drift since. But it is only 2 months. So I suppose it remains to be seen. Calling that a permanent fix is maybe a bit optimistic, but heck, if it fixes it even temporarily, that's still pretty good. And he did in his video say that he thinks he's identified how Nintendo can fix the problem permanently with literally a screw to hold some housing together.
Cool.
Well, see whether Nintendo pay attention or not.
Fair play to him. Game Builder Garage is getting a physical release in Europe on the 10th of September, which is good news. We're going to move on to a couple more of these announcements. KK Slider has joined the Build-A-Bear Animal Crossing collection. Build-A-Bear Animal Crossing. It's another crossover. It's Animal Crossing. They cross over with everything. Pixel Heart have discovered and sold 500 copies, sealed copies, of F-Zero. That's quite interesting. When you say discovered, Anton, were they just in the bottom of someone's cupboard or?
Yeah, so they've been doing a series of releases called Pixel Heart, I believe, Selects. It's mainly been focused on Dreamcast games, finding just, you know, a couple hundred of particular Dreamcast games and then selling them, you know, via their store, and they're all kept nice and tidy. These are all Italian copies that were sold. They sold immediately, but, you know, in Super Mario 64 money, that's a lot of income to be shifting around for not very much. I'm sure, you know, collectors are going to be stashing these away for many, many a decade before they become scarce again.
Yeah, I mean, 500 would be sitting in a warehouse, and they're sealed, but they're not really sealed. So no, they're not like they're shrink wrapped. They just come in sort of a hard plastic case, crystal cases. That's what they're called. They're in those things, and they're in Italian. Because they're Italian games, Italian PALs with Italian manuals, and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. So I guess fairly niche from that point of view. It's a very cool find. I would love to know where they are. And they do have a disclaimer on their website somewhere that says, yeah, they might have some slight damage because they've been stored for the last 20 odd years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
well, you know, they're not new, but they're just never previously owned by anyone.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
I'm going to come on to the next one in just a second. So I'm going to flip one forward in the news and then come back to this because it's such a big announcement that I want to chat about. So first of all, Reggie has announced the book Disrupting the Game from the Bronx to the Top of Nintendo. It's coming out the 24th of May, 2022. I bet you, Al, that would be a really good read.
It probably would be. I mean, we love Reggie on this podcast. I mean, who doesn't love Reggie? Everything he touches turns to gold. And if he's managed to write a book, which is pretty much, I'm guessing, an autobiography,
yeah,
for one guess, then I think we'd all be quite keen to read that. Sure, it would be fun. I suspect it might have a few little secrets and amusing little anecdotes in it.
This is where he reveals his favourite podcast is the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. That's what I think.
You know, it's we're right up there next to Jeff Keighley. We're yeah. top on Reggie's list.
Oh, but sure.
Yeah, between this and Ask Iwata, the book, we're going to be getting a very vivid portrait of Nintendo during, you know, the noughties and first half of the 2010s. So very excited to read this. I'm hoping with Ask Iwata as well, because we're still waiting for that audiobook of both of these titles, because I'm very excited to give them a wee read.
Yeah, I think both could be really good. Now, this was another big announcement this week, and quite an interesting one. Valve announced Steam Deck. It's a new handheld. It features a 7-inch 1280 by 800 OLED screen, custom AMD SoC cable of ray tracing, 16 gig of DDR5 RAM, 64 to 512 gig of storage. Full-size controls, twin touchpad, Bluetooth VR support, Windows support, compatible with any USB-C dock or dongle. Coming out December 2021 for $349.99 plus a free hard case. Gabe Newell described the competitive pricing a painful decision. Now, obviously, Twitter has been awash with comparisons with the Nintendo Switch all week, and my own thoughts on that are that you can compare them all you like, but it's like comparing apples and oranges, no matter the fact that they're both portable. From my perspective, I think this is really cool. I think if you are someone with a lot of games in your Steam library, then I think this is a fantastic option. But it's a different demographic, it's different people that are going to be playing this, it's a different type of machine, and I don't really see it as being a huge threat to Nintendo, but I think Nintendo should always take these things seriously, and there's the problem, because Nintendo don't listen to anyone else whatsoever. So that's my thoughts on it. Anton, what about you?
Yeah, so one thing I just want to make a wee note of, because I made a mistake in the notes, it's an LCD screen.
But it's not an OLED, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think... this is quite an interesting device. It'll never tackle the Switch. Best case scenario, it's the next PSP compared to the DS. Like, it'll never be on the level of Switch. But I have been surprised amongst my kind of PC gaming friends. The ones who own Switches are swapping them they've got their reservations in. And I think for people who are maybe on the higher end of the Switch market who want the more serious titles, this is like a match made in heaven, especially with the likes of being able to run Windows on it. That gives you access to a whole of Game Pass, which if you've got that library already, especially if you do have a large Steam library, you're literally just buying the hardware and you can use it as a computer. But the pricing, especially with ray tracing, which is very hard to get in a sub, not even considering the GPU shortage going on, hard to get on a sub £600 graphics card. It is a very competitive, even as a gaming PC. So impressive hardware, whether or not it succeeds or not, Al.
It is a compelling proposition, indeed. I mean, it's turned my eye, put it that way. I am really quite interested in this. Now, I agree with Mike. I don't think this is going to bother the Switch in the slightest, but I do think it's going to be a success. I mean, it's sold out already. Pre-orders, it is gone. They've already said they're delaying the two premium ones till Q2 next year because the demand has been so high. This is a hugely popular device, and it's going to be a hugely popular device. But at the same time, people buy the Nintendo Switch for the Nintendo games. Nintendo's strongest asset is its own library of games. Now, that's not going to go away. That's not going to change. So we've got nothing to worry about. But the proposition that this offers of amazing, really high-end... I mean, you're basically carrying around a PlayStation 5 in your pocket. It's not quite, but it's not a million miles away from there. The architecture is the same stuff. And it can play your existing library of Steam games, which, let's face it, is vast for most people. That's compelling. It doesn't cost much more than a Switch. But if you want to buy a game on a Switch or buy the same game on Steam, you guarantee in Steam it's sort of half the price because, Steam does sales. And all of a sudden, this makes a whole lot of sense, and I'd be tempted to get them both.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it will be a success, and I think it's the first one we've seen that is in this market of handheld, albeit in a different space, that will actually be a success in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And I think it will be a success because, as you said, it's kind of like an entry into gaming PC world if you want to upgrade that, and you know, you've got a library of games that you want to play and you want a bit more portability. It's actually a really decent proposition. I don't have a Steam library, never have. I've never been into gaming PC gaming. So I think for me, I don't think it's something that I'm like, oh wow. But what I do think Nintendo should be doing is, when it comes to the Pro, which we don't have yet, I do think they need to be looking at the kind of stuff that they're doing for the price point that they're doing it at, and be going, okay, so they've had to think about the pricing on this, but if we want to be competitive and be ahead of the game, we've got to start thinking along these lines instead of using technology that, with all respect, a lot of this, you know, the previous Switch announcements has been sort of on the fringes of being out of date. So I think it is important that they do take stock of it. And I'm sure somewhere someone in Nintendo is taking notes. I just wonder if sometimes the left hand and the right hand aren't communicating when it comes to these things. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there's just a lot of little things about this that are, you know, just showing, you know, what could Nintendo could do if they were a slightly different company. Like, they've got an option for this device to have a glass screen that is, like, anti-reflective coated. You know, it has a fairly full-fledged OS. SteamOS 3.0 has been built from scratch for this model, with all these billions of features, mod support. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And I think the pricing is telling of this device. I think they could have easily have charged a starting price of, you know, let's say $440. You know, it'd been right in line with the Xbox Series X and the PS5. But by them putting it down by the Switch OLED, it's kind of showing who the real target is there. And I could see a lot of people that, you know, maybe they're wanting a Switch, but they want to play the new Cyberpunk or the new Call of Duty and be like, I don't really care about 4K or playing it on the big TV, but I also want to play these big AAA titles. Like, I got an email today and it was The Witcher 3 Complete Edition on sale for $5 on Steam. That's, you know, a much different pricing environment to be in.
It is, but this is where my one, I'm not going to call it concern, but it's close and get to it, is with this. So the base model of the Steam Deck is 64 gig, which isn't that much. If you want to go up to the 512 gig one, you're looking at something that's about 500, 550 quid off the top of my head. But there's quite a few big AAA games on PC now which are over 100 gig. They wouldn't fit on the base model.
I'm assuming there must be an expansion option.
Oh, yeah. You can put in memory cards. I think it expands, it accepts a whole load of different ones. But if you're just keeping it to the base size, 64 gigs not huge. And depending on the kind of game you want to play, you're going to want to play it off the console rather than off a memory card. But, who am I?
Yeah, I've noticed that out the people that I have known to get them, it has been the people who want their indie games going for that base model, 64 gig. And then it's like, if you want to fit, let's say, Call of Duty Warzone, one game that's 200 gigs, it's like, okay, you need that mid-tier model. At least.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. And I think it's healthy that there's competition for the Switch, because it has been untouched in terms of any competition recently. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. And with that, we're probably going to touch a bit more on that, because we're going to move on. That's a long episode. We're going to move on to the rumours.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
It's no wonder it's a long episode, though, is it, really? We weren't here last week, so that makes a lot of sense. So we are on to the rumours, and first up, I am already going to predict that Persona
that
5...
That you will be disappointed.
...is not coming. Persona 5 is not happening. Atlus have 7 projects for the Persona 25th anniversary. I am going to say... that, I mean, it's so obvious to have Persona 5 on the Switch, but they're not going to do it. I can just tell you now. Just telling you, Anton. It's not happening.
Yeah, we're going to get I came on PS Vita, Persona 5 Dancing in the Stars. We're going to get that. Persona 4 Dancing in the Stars. We're going to get Persona 4 Arena. Maybe even Persona 4 Golden, but we're not getting Persona 5. Maybe a Shin Megami Tensei 4 port.
I know. Anyway, it's good, it's cool, it's exciting. I'm not getting my hopes up. I don't even really want to talk about it because I feel like I'll just jinx it. So, moving on.
Well, before you move off it, just because I don't really know anything about the Persona 5 franchise other than the fact that you're so desperate to get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when was 5 released?
2018, because it was on the PS3 as well. So 2017.
How regularly do they bring out new iterations in the franchise? I mean, what I'm getting at here is, what do you think the chances are of them suddenly announcing Persona 6?
I think Persona 4 was PlayStation 2, so maybe 2006, 7-ish, because it was a later
big leap between them.
Yeah.
Was it PlayStation 2? Is it as old as that? I think I only played it on the Vita, but I suppose that might make sense. If it was, I thought it was PlayStation 3 first up, Persona 4, but maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think it was Persona 1 and 2 was PS1, Persona 3 and 4 was PS2, and then Persona 5 is 3 and 4.
Yeah,
on PlayStation 3 and 4.
Yeah, so there is big gaps between them for sure. So I still think there's it's so obvious, but it as I say, it's not going to happen. So moving on, Octopath Traveler has teased a sequel on Twitter. Did we not already see the sequel? Was it not that other thing that's coming?
Project Triangle.
That's the one.
Same team, same art style, nothing to do with this franchise.
I'm shocked. I genuinely thought that was just going to be announced as, yeah, this is like the prequel or this is the sequel or whatever, but no.
I think it's because it shuffles genre, doesn't it, Al? The new Project Triangle.
It does? Question mark?
Yeah, because I think that one's Project Triangle's strategy type.
Ah, okay. Like,
whereas the Octopath Travelers are an RPG.
Yeah.
Who knows? We might be surprised.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Yeah, cool.
But it's cool that they're getting a sequel because it was a game that was, in the end, pretty well received and looks great. Netflix are going to be adding video games access to the service as early as next year. Now, I saw them talk about this. It's the streaming future of video games is coming to the world. I mean, it already is here, but that could be quite interesting. And I wonder again if in the future this fabled Switch Pro, if it was set up to allow the likes of Netflix, you do wonder that could be a good proposition, Anton, to have access to a gaming service that might be playable on consoles.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when this popped up. I was like, okay, if they were going to bring Netflix to gaming, cloud gaming isn't 100% there yet, and I don't think they have quite the footprint to prove themselves there. So what if it was a kind of case like EA Play?
They
so
send
EA
you a CD, so, like in the old, like Love Film, they send you the game. That's what I want them to do.
The future.
Future is the past.
We've got EA Play, which you can get on Xbox and PlayStation, which is a subscription service that gives you access to EA games on those consoles. Now, we've played around with this idea with Microsoft games on the Switch, and there, you know, it's got interesting ideas of competitive nature, but I wonder if we could get a game subscription service on the Switch and Nintendo to be happy with it. Because the framework's there on the other two platforms, although it's only been deployed once with EA Play. So it's not completely impossible, and clearly there can be arrangements made to work, or Netflix just goes all in streaming, which could be possible. They do have the infrastructure for it.
Well, they are the streaming giants. I suppose anyone can do it, they probably can. I'm just massively intrigued to see how they go about doing this, because as far as I can see, they've not released a huge amount of detail on this, other than the fact that they're saying we're going to release a streaming service for games. And I don't know if they're going to develop all their own games, because they are building up an in-house gaming team, and I know this much. Are they going to be streaming other people's games? Are they doing AAAs? Are they doing indies? Are they going to release a device? We have very little information about this, and I'm struggling to see how it would work, because if you're sitting watching Netflix on your TV, what are you playing these games on?
No, I mean, if you think back to who was it that did the one where they sent the controller? Was it Amazon that did that and they sent you the controller, Anton, and you could buy a controller? Yeah,
both Amazon and Google made a controller for their streaming, and to a lesser extent on live, and then the other two parties, PlayStation, Xbox, already had controllers. So
yeah,
Could we get Netflix hardware?
That's what I'm thinking.
That would be bizarre.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really think that's how they'll do it. I don't think they're going to open up to any, you know, play it anywhere, because that seems quite difficult. But I think hardware might be the way they go. But what was you saying?
No, we don't know. My anything. Suspicion, because I can't see Netflix doing hardware. They're not a hardware company, and I don't see them having any ambition to be so. The only thing I can think they would do is release a controller app. So you control it on your phone or on your iPad or your Android tablet or your whatever, where then you could conceivably pair it with an actual controller if you wanted to. that seems a bit clunky, but that's the only thing I can think they would do.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's as early as next year. Doesn't seem like a long time away when they're announcing it in no details, but we shall see what does come of it. Now, according to Jeff Grubb, Metroid Prime Trilogy has been ready to go for quite a while now, and Nintendo's kind of been holding it for the right time. Apparently, it was all due to the kind of bottleneck of everything happening during the pandemic, and quality assurance was all around that and making sure it was passing everything it needed to. So there were a couple of games that were technically finished that have sat on the side just to allow more important projects through that kind of testing quality assurance stage. So that, again, would make sense. The Metroid Prime Trilogy, obviously, you would think of all the Metroid games, the ones that have been out previously, Al, would be the ones that would be ready to go. So I'm not shocked by that.
I'm not shocked by that, and I'm not shocked by the fact they've sort of prioritised things like, I presume, Metroid Dread, and for all I know, Mario Rabbids, but although it wasn't really made by them, it was Ubisoft. But still, yeah, I can see that there's been a lot of stuff been in development. This has been sitting for a while. Nintendo has had a pretty solid last couple of months of releases and announcements. There's been, after a bit of a quiet period, there has been a lot coming, so Nintendo are probably rightly just sitting on this and waiting to build momentum for when Prime 4 eventually comes out.
Yeah, and, you know, looking back at the last year, outside of the, you know, quality assurance bottleneck that has been made apparent, not an aspect of the game process that I would have thought would have been disrupted, but obviously you don't want to be sending out complete versions of your game code to external parts of your organization. Totally makes sense, although it hadn't popped up in my head. The last year, looking back of it, there is definitely a degree of being like, okay, they were holding their cards a little because, you know, they didn't know how disrupted their business would be. And, you know, this might be the year where, you know, we start to see new Donkey Kongs and all that stuff finally coming out the woodwork. We might have a bit of a flood once we're all back to normal 100% soon.
That would be very nice. Now, let's get back to the Switch OLED. Our final rumour this week, and the Switch OLED model dev kit features 8GB of RAM. Interestingly though, compared to previous generation dev kits, they've been 6GB. Now, Anton, the significance in this surely is, if there's more RAM available in the dev kit, does that mean there's more RAM available in the OLED model? Does that mean that we can expect OLED specific games, or is that just simply because the technology needs it to compensate? What's the reason?
Yeah, so this is a bit alarming, or interesting in some ways, because the Switch OLED and Switch LCD, the model we've been using for the past 4 or 5 years now, are 4 years, is completely identical performance-wise. So this gives a hint, possibly, either that they, you know, they just wanted to give devs a little bit more space, or more likely that they had planned to upgrade the hardware and something stopped them. There's been a lot of rumors, a lot of them don't have the most evidence this week, that the Switch Pro was meant to happen and it just didn't. Whether that was due to the silicon shortage that we're facing, or Nintendo just not wanting to commit to it right now. But for whatever reason, a Switch Pro didn't happen, and this might be evidence of that by the fact that, you know, the one part that isn't just, you know, developing a new part, you know, just sticking in some more RAM, is still present on these dev kits.
Yeah, it's strange, because, I mean, the retail Switch, the one that we all own, and the OLED one, it only has 4GB of RAM. It's only the dev kit previously that had 6, and the new dev kit has 8. Does make you wonder why, but I'm with Anton on this, that the dev kit wasn't a dev kit for the OLED, it was a dev kit for the Pro, and the Pro is still coming. I mean, there's so many markers out there, so many journalists with pretty strong reputations out there have said the Pro is coming, they've given us all the specs, we know it's out there, we know it's in development. So there must have been something that has caused Nintendo to go, oh, we can't release this yet. Well, we'll put out the OLED version. We've got tons of screens. We can do this. Let's bump that bit out. We just can't increase the processor because we've got a silicon shortage.
I think the silicon shortage does make the most amount of sense. But that all being the case, I can't see us getting the Pro that soon, because for me, I think unless they're just classic Nintendo, like buy your OLED and then a week later here's the Pro, but I just don't even see Nintendo doing that. I think there's going to have to be a bit of a significant gap between the OLED and the Pro. Am I not right, Anton?
You know, we would hope so. But, you know, it might just be a case that Nintendo's hand was forced within of this unprecedented time. You know, the silicon shortage was, you know, completely unexpected in the terms of how it came to be. And only seems to be getting prolonged because the actual main manufacturers of SoCs and CPUs at the moment are not wanting to update their capacity because they don't want to be left empty-handed at the end of the shortage. So it just seems to be prolonging. And yeah, you know, who knows? Nintendo might have just had, as you say, Al, boxes or, you know, pre-ordered these parts and, you know, didn't get the rest of the parts and have just made up what they could.
That's what I think's happened.
Well, we will see. I still think I want an OLED. Now, let's move on. Do the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Right, so we... Well, you guys did a quiz when I wasn't here, which I listened to and got thoroughly confused by, and I've now, because it was like a week ago, I've actually even forgotten who won and what points you decided to allocate to each other in the end. But do you guys remember?
Oh.
In that case, I'm just going to pretend that it didn't happen. It was a one-off.
Probably I won. In fact, it was 1-1. We drew anyway, so I think it's irrelevant in the end.
Excellent. Well, in that case, the score was Anton 15, Mike 12. But I'll bump you both up by 1 point, so it's now Anton 16, Mike 13. Because I'm, you know, charitable and nice that way. Which means that, well, Mike can't quite draw level in this particular round, but you know what? You could still get closer again. You've recovered from a deficit in the past.
Yeah,
you can do this, Mike.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
You pumped? You psyched?
Let's do it.
All right, let's jump in. The very first game, 1995 RPG on the SNES. No.
Earthbound.
It is not. It was also released in the PlayStation in 1999, and an enhanced version was released on the DS in 2008. It's since been ported to the iMode, the Virtual Console, the PS Network, iOS, Android, and Windows.
Final Fantasy VII.
No.
Secret of Mana.
No. It was developed and published by Square, though.
Tales of Mana. No, I said that last time. '95 SNES. See, that's going back. See, that's. But then it was PlayStation 99. I've possibly played it.
I mean, back in 2003, it had already shipped 2.65 million copies. This was a big game.
Mm-hmm. Is it RPG? So the only ones that in my head I can think of is just Final Fantasy, but like of that era. But like Final Fantasy 4.
No.
Final Fantasy 6.
No. This is frequently cited as one of the greatest video games of all time. Oh. Nintendo Power described the aspects of the game as revolutionary, including its multiple endings, plot-related side quests, its focus on character development, unique battle system, and its detailed graphics.
Oh, Eye of the Beholder?
Nope.
No, that was PC. That was kind of more PC at that time. I can't even think. I didn't have a SNES.
Was it Chrono Trigger?
It was! Oh.
To be honest, I would never have got that anyway. I mean, yeah.
To be fair, the next clue would probably have given it away. It was the first in the series, and the game story follows a group of adventurers who travel through time to prevent a global catastrophe. So
I wouldn't have got it anyway because I've never played it.
Great soundtrack, Mike. You'd love it.
Yeah. I'm just frustrated because I didn't have a SNES.
I had a SNES, but I've never played a Chrono Trigger game. I'm aware of them, but I never played them.
Well done, Anton.
All right. Okay, 1 point to Anton. The second game is a 2006 port of a previously released game, and that's all I'm going to give you.
Sonic.
No.
Mega Man Maverick Hunters X.
No. It was developed and published by Nintendo.
2006 port of a previous
Super release. Mario 64 DS.
It is not.
I'd like to do an... Is it... Pikmin... with Wii Play motion controls.
It is not. It was released on the DS.
Damn it. On the DS. A re-release of a Nintendo game. Did you say?
I said it was a 2006 port of a previously released game, and this one was developed and published by Nintendo.
Right. I mean, it could be anything.
I know.
2006, what would it be? Is it Broken Sword?
No.
Is it Rayman DS?
No. It did have many modes. So modes included Standard, Mission, Push, Touch, Catch, and Puzzle.
Tetris.
You need to be more specific than that, Mike.
Tetris the game.
It is not called Tetris the game, which means you probably just handed this to Anton.
Puyo Puyo.
No, it is not Puyo Puyo. Mike, right, I'm going to give you the next clue, but you just need to name the game. You're so painfully close. Give me the actual name of this game. Okay, standard mode plays much like the original game, although in the DS version, the play field is in the bottom screen and Nintendo-themed gameplay... No, clip loops on the top of the screen. No, no, Mike, no, you're going further away.
What?
You practically had the title last time round, and you just didn't say the full title.
Tetris of the Tetris...
No, you've given your guess, Anton.
I don't know.
Let's say Puyo Puyo DS.
Oh, Anton's being so kind to you here.
Is it
no.
Puyo Puyo Tetris?
No, no, Mike, no.
But Tetris is just called Tetris.
Standard mode can be played as a one-player marathon, multiplayer with two players, or a one-player versus a computer-controlled opponent. Standard mode featured a Super Mario Brothers backdrop.
Tetris DS.
Super Mario Brothers. Yay! Mike got it!
Woo! Oh, come on, you're not giving it to me when I said Tetris, because you say it was a remake of an old game. Clearly, if I say the name of the game, that should be the point.
No, the game is called Tetris DS. Oh, that was the name of the game.
But that's... Well, the question was misleading then, because you should be saying...
No, the game is... The whole point of this game is you name the game. You named the old game, you didn't
you know
name
what?
The new game.
Even though Anton was very nice to me about it and let me get the full title, I still claim I won anyway because I said Tetris.
Uh-huh, sure. All right,
I'll take the
you
point.
Can go first. You can go first and the closest to the pin, Mike.
Okay.
What year was the... Wonderful, the infamous, the groundbreaking GoldenEye released on the N64.
97.
Anton?
98.
2 points to Mike.
Woo! I mean, to be fair, that was one of the few games that I definitely was fairly confident was in that year, so...
I knew it was roundabout. I could not have told you it was 97. I knew it was somewhere in the window between about 95 and 99, but I couldn't have told you where.
Yeah. I think you would have got that if I hadn't said it first, though, Anton.
Maybe. Yeah, I do like my GoldenEye. It's a good title.
Yeah, to be fair, it's the one game I did play a lot of on the N64, even though I didn't have an N64. I just played it any time I could because it was so good. So, yes, I'll take the win. I feel okay about it because I said Tetris. If it had been like Tetris versus the mutant dogs of Mars, then obviously I would have been like, oh, well, okay, clearly I shouldn't have won that point. But because I said Tetris, I feel okay about it. I don't feel like I'm cheating the system. Well played, Anton.
Well played, mate.
You're very kind.
I felt you were close. I was like, all right, I'm just going to give this one to you.
I'll not lie. I would have been pretty upset if you'd said Tetris DS and I didn't get the point for saying Tetris. But, you know, Al's right. I have to name the game exactly.
The audience did not see the eye roll there, but I think they all heard it.
Just a quick reminder once again, thank you so much for all your continued support. I think we have a couple of new Patreon supporters. We should have mentioned them earlier.
Oh, Jim and Cricket, yeah, Alistair. We should. Yes.
While you're checking who we are thanking for joining us, just a quick reminder, if you do want to come and join us, nsukp.co.uk/support-us. We do put every cent, every penny, every farthing that we get in from you back into the show, and it goes into producing as many episodes as we can. We have just taken a bit of a break, but we're back on it. We'll have an expansion chat coming up, and we've got this week we'll have probably a roundup. I think we're due a roundup this week, so we'll be back on the train once again. But yes, thank you to the two new supporters.
Yeah, I wanted to give a nice big podcast shout out, woohoo, to Adam Metcalf, woohoo,
woohoo,
and to Michael East,
woohoo,
woohoo.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know I've emailed both of you guys and said thank you, and you were awesome, but I'm going to say it again. Yeah. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Yeah. We love it when people sign up. It makes us so happy.
Huge shout as well to everyone in the Discord chat, because that is always really busy with our team of people that we all love to chat to regularly. It's a really fun place to be. And usually that's where I see my first notification of the day, and often my last notification of the day, because it's very active. So it's great. So come and join us.
Yeah, even when we've been on holiday and we've not been doing it much ourselves, it's been so active. It's great. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, who needs I haven't even been bothering with the news app on my phone. I've just been going directly to the Discord, and everybody's already having a debate or conversation about the newest WhatsApps that's going on in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some real kind of people that are on it in there. So yeah, come and join us. And a big thanks to you for listening, of course, and for downloading the podcast weekly. Thank you. One more review we had. We've never actually read this review out.
This is such a good review.
Talked about it a few times. I just want to make sure I get this absolutely right, because it's really important. You know,
it's quite long, so make sure you get this sort of perfect. Okay?
Well, that's it. You know, you want to make sure that when you're reading reviews, you get it right. So it's from Darthy O'Law. And the headline is "Good show, 5 stars." Here's the review. It's good. So thank you very much.
I genuinely love that review.
You did. You sent
it's
it to
just
us.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much. If you want to leave us a review, the best place to do that is Apple Podcasts, and we do very much appreciate it. So with that, have a lovely week. We will be back in a week's time, and stay safe. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.